This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. It's my pleasure to be with you every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and educational for all of us who live here in the Western New York area. We try to be on target, but particularly talking about, as I said, events and people and places that affect us here in Western New York. And I recently, not recently, actually a while ago, but recently it was brought to my attention again that there is something right here in Western New York known as the Buffalo Presidential Center. And this displays presidential artifacts, and actually they are in the home of a board member who is going to be talking about the Buffalo Presidential Center with us. He is Bren T. Price, and he has all kinds of presidential artifacts and all kinds of information about what Buffalo, what, you know, contacts and connections Buffalo has to do with presidential people or past presidents. And I learned from reading this that Washington, D.C. is, of course, the American city with the most presidential connections. But aside from George Washington, each of the four men who served as president have lived and worked there. Many believe, however, Buffalo is a worthy second place. So how could we be in second place to Washington, D.C., Bren? And welcome to our program. And what does Buffalo have to do with presidents besides, of course, the two famous, Millard Fillmore and Grover Cleveland, who we kind of know about? But there's a lot of other connections with Buffalo, and I'm really impressed that we're going to be able to tell our listeners about it. And thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much, Penny. It's a pleasure to talk about the Buffalo Presidential Center. And I might just add that when I do walking tours for Explore Buffalo, one of the first things that I say is what you alluded to a little bit ago, and that is that National Public Radio personality and author Brady Carlson, he's been to Buffalo a number of times, and he wrote a book called Dead Presidents. And what he said is that the Buffalo region has the richest presidential history of any city in the United States except Washington, D.C. And so your question is why or who? Mm-hmm. Aside from those, the two United States presidents who resided in Buffalo, Cleveland and Fillmore, we had the youngest first lady in Frances Folsom Cleveland. We have the first African-American woman presidential candidate in Shirley Chisholm in 1972, who was buried at Forest Lawn Cemetery. We have the first woman to run on a national presidential ticket, and that was Belva Lockwood in 1884 and 1888 against Grover Cleveland. We had two vice presidential candidates from the area, Bill Miller from Lockport and Jack Kemp from Orchard Park. Like, a lot of people know those names.
Yes.
But we're also the site of a presidential assassination and a presidential inauguration. I think many people know that William McKinley was assassinated here, and immediately thereafter Theodore Roosevelt was inaugurated at the Wilcox Mansion, which is the site of the Theodore Roosevelt inaugural site. But we, in addition to that, there's been 36 presidents who have visited Buffalo before, during, or after their presidency. Now, the ones that we call our Big Five are Fillmore and Cleveland and McKinley and Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln. Because what most people don't know is that Abraham Lincoln was in Buffalo on four occasions before, during, and after his presidency. One of them, of course, was after he was assassinated. And so, I mean, that's a starter, Penny.
It's a big starter. It's amazing. But what made you or and the group decide to come up with the idea, beside all of this history, about explaining it, about having a Buffalo Presidential Center here in Western New York?
Well, I think the Buffalo Presidential Center was started actually way back around 2000, maybe even in the 1990s, by our president emeritus, Marianne Sacramento Friedman, and our longtime member, Joan Bozier. And it was their goal to preserve the legacies and the all of the information about those two presidents. But then as we began to study further, we realized that there were a lot more presidential connections and that we should try to share that with Western New York because we have such a unique legacy. So we started probably in, well, let me back up a bit. I first learned about the Buffalo Presidential Center in 2007, right after I retired as an educator. And I became a trustee shortly thereafter. And we started sponsoring programs about the presidents and the Buffalo connections. And we decided that there was so much to tell that we would start offering programs
There's so much to tell. I wondered, the question is, which I was going to get to at the end anyway, is there a place? Is there a place called or where people can go and see all these artifacts or see anything to do with the Buffalo Presidential Center? Is it like a real brick-and-mortar place?
There is, and we were very fortunate because over the years we've tried to find a space, but over the last couple of years, Erie County generously transformed some unused storage space up on the second floor of the Central Library. So we just completed the opening of this Buffalo Presidential Center, and we have wall displays, we have exhibits of original artifacts dating back to Millard Fillmore. And when you walk into our space, you are just bombarded by wall panels with informational facts about all of the presidents. And we feature Fillmore, Lincoln, Cleveland, McKinley, and Roosevelt. But we also feature First Ladies. And we have another display area that features the ladies who came first, like Belva Lockwood and Shirley Chisholm. So we have information, and we have the artifacts, the original artifacts that cover all of those individuals.
It's so amazing. It's totally amazing that there are these connections with all of these various presidents to Western New York. And now I'm reading that grandchildren, great-grandchildren, people who are related to the presidents, some of them, have actually come here to Buffalo as well.
Yes, we are friends with George Cleveland, who is a direct grandson of Grover and Frances, and he lives in New Hampshire, but he's been to Buffalo on a number of occasions, and in fact, he's a big supporter of the Buffalo Presidential Center. So that's at least one person who has that family connection.
Which we're very excited about. Anybody that has any connection to Western New York, we get really excited to hear about it. I also realize that there's some connection with City Hall, and that, like it says, Cleveland's grandson, George Cleveland, is a frequent visitor to Buffalo from his home in New Hampshire and has gone to City Hall.
Oh, yes. He's been to City Hall. He used to do programs at Grover Cleveland High School.
Oh, that's right. We have to remember that's named after him.
Yes, correct. And there's a statue out front, of course. And there are other places around town, including his Grover Cleveland's former law office.
Right.
I think it's 238 Main Street.
Tell us about, we got to go about, talk about all the different presidents that have had some connection to Western
right.
New York that we are sort of not aware of.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, the first president to visit Buffalo as president was James Monroe. He was on a Grand Western tour shortly after he had become president in 1817. And so he was the first as president. Yes. And then moving forward, you have John Quincy Adams, and you have William Henry Harrison. Now, he visited Buffalo right before the burning of Buffalo City by the British. In 1813, he was a general, and he was visiting the troops in Buffalo shortly after he left. The city was burned to the ground, but 27 years later, he was elected president in 1840. In fact, if you go to the corner of Washington and between Maine and Washington on Eagle Street, there was a log cabin campaign house, log cabin, that was built to support the campaign of Tippecanoe and Tyler
too. I'm going to show off. Yeah. I learned that in school.
Right. And it was the Whigs of Buffalo that built this cabin. And it was a campaign headquarters in 1840. It didn't last very long. They tore down that building shortly thereafter. But and then you move forward, and you, of course, you got Millard Fillmore, who became president after Zachary Taylor was died in office. And then, of course, Lincoln was here the first time in 1848. He was actually campaigning for Taylor and Fillmore. Ulysses S. Grant was here. President Johnson was here in 1866. Let me see, after that, you're moving forward. And Garfield was here. Benjamin Harrison was here, and every president after William McKinley has been here either before, during, or after their presidency.
That's sort of
so. If you want to total them all,
that's
up,
unique. Yeah,
there's 141 visits by 36 presidents.
So no wonder we're second to Washington, D.C. as far as our connections with presidential visits and presidential memorabilia. That's really exciting. And you know what? I don't think, like, I didn't know this. I didn't know any of this. And I wonder if our listeners did too, about the important part that I think we all know, of course, I think we all know about, you know, the president being assassinated, about the swearing in, but of Roosevelt. And, you know, I think most of us, we actually here on Target, we talked about the Roosevelt site many times, Wilcox Manor and so forth. But all of the others are a big surprise. I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And today we're talking to Bren T. Price, who's a board member of the Buffalo Presidential Center. And we're actually discussing what the Buffalo Presidential Center means to us here in Western New York. And we just found out that it's an actual exhibit in place that we can go to at the library, at the Central Library, which is kind of recent news, I guess. And then, Bren, I was reading and hear about that you are a collector of presidential memorabilia, the artifacts that have, you know, Western New York connections that are very unique. And I love this one, that when Millard Fillmore was inaugurated as vice president, there was an inaugural ball, and you have Mrs. Fillmore's invitation. What does that look like?
I'd love to show it to you.
I know. I wish it was. I wish we could.
It's hanging in my home, but the actual invitation itself has Mrs. Fillmore's name written on it, and the envelope is entitled Vice President. So I have both of those framed together. Yeah, that's. I guess what we could say is unique.
Yes. Now, here is something which we need to tell our listeners about. There is a tombstone at Forest Lawn Cemetery for Abigail Fillmore.
Yes, there is. That tombstone.
Now, how did that happen?
You mean with Abigail?
Yes.
Well, Abigail was his first wife. He married her shortly after moving to East Aurora. And when she, right after his presidency, she passed away, and that was in 1853. His daughter Mary passed away in 1854. So there was a lot of heartache there. But she and Mary are also in the fenced-in area at Forest Lawn with Millard Fillmore's obelisk monument. Now, Millard Fillmore married a second time. She was a very wealthy widow from Albany, New York, by the name of Caroline McIntosh. And with all of her money and his, the Fillmores were tremendous philanthropists for the city of Buffalo. And so she is also buried there, although her gravestone is not as well marked as Abigail's.
Well, that's appropriate. All of his wives are one place or another here in Buffalo. There's a connection when you mentioned before, which is interesting, and we're going to probably in good weather when we can talk about the Buffalo Explore Buffalo walking tours, that there is a connection that to Lafayette Square. When you travel to Lafayette Square, you describe what it has to do with, the presidential landscape.
Yes, actually, when I do the tours, that's our first stop. And we talk about the monument at Lafayette Square and how that is a memorial to Civil War veterans. And that monument was dedicated in 1882 on the 50th anniversary of the city of Buffalo. And at the time, Grover Cleveland was mayor. So on July 4th, 1882, that monument was dedicated. And in 1884, it was completed. And Abraham Lincoln can be seen, and there's all kinds of information at that statue that most people just walk by. Or drive by.
Yes.
Such so I point out all of the details of that. So why would they name a Civil War monument after General de Lafayette? Well, in 1825, Lafayette was in Buffalo and was here for the opening of the Erie Canal as part of his tour of the United States after he was released from jail in France. He was invited here by John Quincy Adams, who was president at the time. It's probably more than you wanted to know.
No, we want to know because we care about that, the fact, any connection to Buffalo. And you mentioned the Black Rock area where James Monroe the first sitting president to visit the Black Rock area.
Yes, actually, he didn't get into downtown Buffalo, but Black Rock, of course, these days, although it wasn't part of the city of Buffalo then, of course, we consider it now.
Well, I learned that actually Forest Lawn was the where the people, presidents and other people are buried that we just talked about, wasn't part of Buffalo either. It was like the outside, the outskirts, so to speak, the suburbs of Buffalo.
Yes.
Now, this also, there's a connection to the quote-unquote, the Buffalo Hotel at the corner of Main and Swan Streets, which you can describe.
Yeah, well, the Buffalo Hotel at one point was owned by Statler, Edwin Statler. And when he purchased the property, corner of Delaware, where the Statler Hotel is right now, that was at one time the Millard Fillmore Mansion. And that Millard Fillmore Mansion became a hotel after he passed away, and he and his wife passed away. And then Statler, he tore down that hotel and built the Three Towers. So that is a very historic corner because it was Millard Fillmore's residence. And both John Quincy Adams and Abraham Lincoln had visited there.
Well, we're so fortunate it's still there, aren't we? Because there's so many times that historic places are torn down or destroyed, and the fact that we can have it here and that we can know about its history is really important to all of us here in Buffalo, in Western New York, actually.
It sure is, and that's what we want to share with the public. We really have untapped community education and tourism potential, and I think the exhibits and the speakers and the programs that the Buffalo Presidential offers, because we do 10 or 12 of them a year, and we have been doing that for almost 10 years now without a site. And that's because we've been able to collaborate with other community groups, such as the History Museum and the TR inaugural site and the library and even the League of Women Voters, the League of Women Voters, and the Civil War Roundtable Group, I mean, and others. So, and in fact, there will be one program tonight, if you find the link on the Buffalo History Museum. I am doing a talk on contested presidential elections.
What?
Then, that's tonight.
That's pretty current. I was
Another one of our trustees is doing a program on inaugural weather and presidents on the 26th at 6 p.m. through the Buffalo History Museum.
I'm glad we can talk about this because I'm on the board of the Buffalo History Museum and proud to be. And we have had so many interesting, informative, and educational exhibits and mm-hmm. talks and whatever. And there's so much history that's important, as we were just talking about, to do with presidents and with various monuments and places that are relevant now. This is relevant now. The events as what happened in the 1800s. So I'm glad that we can show that.
Absolutely. The contested presidential elections is not a new phenomenon. And Penny, I wanted, before we leave, I really want to emphasize for people to go to our website.
Good.
Because
if you
click on our website,
okay,
you'll be able to see the interior of our museum.
Great.
Find out about all the programs that we've given in the past and ones that we will be giving in the future, including tonight.
Okay, Bren, please tell it to us. We've got our pencils and pens ready, as I say, for
okay.
the website.
It's www.buffalopresidentialcenter.org.
Okay, that's pretty easy. And I think people now listening to the little that we've talked about and the information that we've given want to make a deep dive into all the relationships that we here in Western New York have with our former presidents and with history that's so important to all of us. And we thank you so much for joining us, Bren Price. And it was really wonderful talking to you. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again. And I think our listeners will take advantage of this information. And I hope a lot of them, when we're able to, we'll go to our public library, which I cannot say enough wonderful things about, and take advantage and look at the different exhibits that we have there. So thanks for talking to us. Thanks for listening to On Target, everybody. We really appreciate it. We hope you're going to join us again next week at the same time on the same station for more interesting information on Target with Penny Wolfgang. Goodbye, and have a good and safe week, everybody. And thank you again, Mr. Price.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.